This is the church. The church is first and foremost the assembly of the saved and the redeemed, who through no worthiness of our own have accepted the gift of forgiveness of sins from a gracious God. We have been born again. We've been brought into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. We've been given living water. We've been promised eternal life. Once dead in our transgressions, we've been brought out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Though we were stained by sin, we have been washed by his mercy, allowed to come near to God, made into a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And that invitation is open to all. To those who turn from sin, those who confess with their lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in their hearts that God raised him from the dead, they too will be saved. So the church is first and foremost the assembly of the saved and the redeemed. The church is a group of people who have been the recipients of God's great love. God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, it says in Colossians 3. We are the sheep watched over by the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. As undeserving as we are, God calls us his children. He calls us his friends. Somewhat mind-blowing. This is the church. The true church is made up of human beings who have responded to Christ's love by becoming devoted disciples of their master, dedicated learners, but not just learners and listeners of the word, but doers of the words of God. We seek to put to death whatever belongs to our earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. We used to walk in those ways in the life we once lived, but now we seek to rid ourselves of all such things as these: anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language. We will not lie to each other, since we have taken off our old selves, our old self with its practices, and we've put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. We will be law-abiding citizens as we seek to live out peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness, but we will always obey God over man. In all we build, we will build it upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. In all we do, we will do it for the glory of God. This is the church. And as if all that unmerited grace that we've received wasn't enough, the church is also the recipient of God's Holy Spirit. Because we've been washed clean of the stain from our sins, though we still sin, he continues to make us clean. Because of that, the Holy Spirit has moved into us as if we were God's temple. It's true individually and collectively. We are the temple of the creator of the universe. And this means that we have assistance in overcoming sin and addictions. We have help in moving towards correct thinking, godly thinking. This means that as we keep in step with the Spirit, God will work godly fruit in us. Things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, gentleness, self-control. You know, the fact that the Spirit of God, this is the Spirit of the all-powerful God, the fact that that Spirit is in us means that we may be given power. That God might choose to use us to display the knowledge that he has that far surpasses our own. That God might choose to use us to display the healing ability that he has, which far surpasses our own. He did it through his followers. In the days after Jesus ascended, he still does these things today. And as we grow and seek him and call upon him, he just might do it through us as well, the people of his church. This is the church. The church will gather to worship all over the planet, to worship in spirit and in truth, to teach one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. The church will gather to pray all over the planet. We will pray in the Spirit on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests. The church will gather together in fellowship, just as our forefathers and foremothers in the church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Church will gather together in fellowship. The church will not function as the world functions. You know that in organizations of the world, where does all the money and the power go? It goes to the top. Different in the church. In the church, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, Jesus said. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. There's equality in the church, different than the world. Pastor or layperson, CEO or homeless person, black or white, Jew or Gentile, male or female. Each person is a masterpiece created by that master artist. Each person is a sinner saved only by grace. All are equally valuable. In God's eyes, the church does not function as the world functions. We will submit to one another in love. We will humble ourselves and lift the other up. We will even be open with our possessions and try to lend a hand to those amongst us who are in need. The world thinks about me. The church thinks about the other. It's the church. The church is called to unity and peace. As members of one body, we are called to peace. Colossians 3. There are to be no divisions among us. We will take care to build each other up, not tear each other down. And when we run into conflict or trouble with others in the church, as it will happen, then we will not give up meeting together, as it says in Hebrews 10. Instead, Colossians 3, instead we will bear with each other and forgive one another if we have a grievance against someone. We will forgive as the Lord has forgiven us. We go to the person that we have the conflict with, as Jesus taught in Matthew 18, just between the two of you. We will strive to maintain the bonds of fellowship with each other and help move each other towards maturity by speaking the truth in love. This is the church. And why will we stay together? Why will we not leave this fellowship? Because we need each other. We're the body of Christ. Amen. And just as one body has many parts that are all necessary, so it is true in the church. Each person has been given gifts by God, gifts that are in turn supposed to be used within the church body for the common good. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. We need each other to be the fully functioning body that God intends us to be. That's why we will not give up meeting together when there is conflict, but we'll continue to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. This is the church. The church has been given authority and responsibility by God to continue the work of Jesus in the world. Jesus said that after he would leave to go to the Father, the church will do the works I've been doing. They will do even greater things. So we are his body, we are his hands and his feet. And we are his voice. The church will preach the gospel. We will shout of the mercy of God. We're going to actually go tell it on the mountains and over the hills and everywhere. And when this gospel of the kingdom has been preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, then the end will come. God intends to accomplish this through his church. We are to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything he has commanded. We're his body, we're his hands, his feet, we're his voice. This is the church. And the church will love as God has loved. We will carry each other's burdens, it says in Galatians 6, 2. We will help orphans and widows, it says in James 1. We will look after the hungry and the sick and those who are in prison, it says in Matthew 25. We've been commanded to love. Therefore, the church will stand against racism of all kinds. We will love. We will seek to show love to white people and to black people and to Asian people and to Arab people. We will seek to show love to Australian people and African people and Samaritans. We will love poor people and rich people, people with disabilities. We will love children. The church will love and help immigrants. The church will love and help people no matter where they live on this planet or what religion they currently follow, because we're called to love. This is the church. We will clothe ourselves with compassion. The church will love as God has loved. And in turn, the world will hate the church. Jesus said, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. I've chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. There will be persecution and hatred. Many have been martyred, despised. These things will continue until he comes back. This also is the church. But Calvary, any suffering that we undergo will be worth it. For we have been made into the members of the eternal kingdom of God. We have been made into citizens of God's household. We are his beloved and chosen people. He has made us into the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We will not stay hidden, but we will let that light shine. And in the end, it'll be the church standing behind King Jesus, standing upon death and evil as they go down to final defeat. God will build his church, and the gates of Hades will not stand against it. This is the church.
Lately, it seems that we're getting more and more confused about what a church actually is. So let's take some time to set the record straight. Church is not a building, though a building can be used by a church. Church is not a denomination, though a set of beliefs should be important to a church. Church is not about Sunday, though a church should not forsake meeting together. Church is not about one person or personality, though every church should be pastored. And church is not about size or growth, though every church is called to make disciples. So don't think of church as an address or a location, but rather think of church as mobile and on the move. Don't think of church as something built or planted, but rather think of church as something deployed. Don't think of church as where you are for an hour each week, but rather what you are every day of the week, because the church is the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Feet shouldn't sit still. Hands shouldn't be idle. Feet go. Hands do. This is the church. Church isn't what you're sitting through right now, because you are the church. Now go and be the church.
As Wes mentioned, we really did have a good church board retreat yesterday, Friday, and yesterday. We really sought to listen to the Holy Spirit. We sought to listen to the comments that you made in the church survey this last spring, and to listen to other feedback we've heard from people. We believe that God is leading us to do some new things here, to make some somewhat significant changes. These things are still in the works, so I'm not really ready to talk it over with you yet. We'll do that soon, so I'm just going to tease you with it right now. But I believe that you will like the changes. I'm feeling excited about it. I think we are as a board. And I just pray that you'll be ready to jump onto this next phase of Calvary with us, this next phase of doing church and being church together. I'm excited to see what God's going to do in our midst. Let's continue to be the church together. I'm going to let you go early today.
What?
All right. It was a long weekend. We've talked about a lot. Not all of you, but a lot of us did. And we're going to move toward a close. If you would pray with me now. And we'll let Harlow come forward for the final hymn. Lord God, the church is a gift from you to all of us. This church is a gift from you to us. Please bless Calvary Baptist Church in Madison, Minnesota. Fill us with your Holy Spirit here. Guide us and direct us that we will be a tremendous blessing to each other, all who attend here, and to our community as well. And may we fulfill your purposes for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.